Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our consideration today is written in 1 Timothy, in the first chapter, verses 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So far the words. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, our text is taken from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a young Christian who lived in Lystra in modern Turkey. He was converted to Christ as Savior during Paul's first missionary journey about the year AD 48. The Bible tells us that on Paul's second visit to Lystra a few years later, Timothy had attained to such a level of spiritual maturity and Bible knowledge that Paul decided to bring him along as a mission partner. Some years later, when Paul was on his third mission tour, he left Timothy behind at Ephesus in Asia Minor as the pastor of that church along with several neighboring congregations. And it was while Timothy was serving as pastor of those churches that he became the recipient of the two letters that bear his name in the New Testament, which Paul wrote to his young colleague to lend counsel to him for his ministry. And we see how he did that in our text in a very special way by picturing himself to Timothy, Paul, picturing himself as the worst of sinners, chosen by grace, the object of Christ's patience, and grateful in His service. Today we want to examine these words of Paul to Timothy in our text, and we want to see ourselves in Paul's picture for our spiritual encouragement as well. So one way Paul pictured himself to Timothy, as we see from verse 15 in our text, was the worst of sinners. You might wonder when we hear those words why Paul would portray himself in that way after having been converted to the Lord Jesus some years before that. He was a dedicated missionary now. He was a gifted preacher. He was a devout servant of the Lord. And how is worst of sinners an accurate description? Now, Paul recognized first he was still a poor sinner who fell short of God's glory every day. And Paul had also not forgotten his life of opposition to Jesus before he was converted, the vile treatment that he had given to Christians, the blaspheming of Jesus' name, his persecuting Jesus and doing everything that he could to keep the nasty message of Christ crucified and risen from spreading to other people. Even though he had the right spiritual pedigree, he'd been born in Tarsus in Cilicia, in the corner of what's now Turkey, but he had been brought up actually in the city of Jerusalem and had been educated at the feet of the famous Rabbi Gamaliel, according to the strict laws of Judaism, and he was second to none in his zeal for God and in his compliance to all the tenets of the Jewish faith. He had not known Christ as his Lord and Savior from sin. He had not loved the Lord, had no desire to serve him, but had opposed him with fanatical zeal. We can see ourselves in the picture, can't we, that Paul draws here of himself to Timothy. Though we've not perhaps engaged, we have not engaged in acts of persecution against Christ. We have not tried to stop the gospel from going out to others. We've not had it on our to-do list to harm other Christians. Yet we were born as God's enemies with a nature opposed to his will. What King David wrote in Psalm 14 is very true also of us, as we were by nature apart from the working of the Spirit in our hearts. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand and who seek after God, and they've all turned aside. They've become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. As we were by nature, we could not even meet God halfway when it comes to knowing him or living for him and serving him. We were, as we'll sing in the after sermon hymn, we were the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners. Thank God, friends, there's more to this story, more to this picture. We also can see ourselves along with Paul as those who have been chosen by grace. Grace is that big Bible word that means love undeserved. And the term that Paul uses here in our text in the Greek original in his letter to Timothy, when he says, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Actually, the word there is superabundantly in the original. It's like a glass being filled up with water so it begins to spill over onto the table. This is the picture that Paul uses to describe God's undeserved love for us in Christ. It's superabundant. It's like waves of the ocean lapping up on the sandy shore over and over and over again without ever stopping. So how did it happen that Paul, the persecutor of Christ, became a recipient of God's superabundant grace? I'm sure you know the story. You've read it. You might use it as one of your devotions this week. In Acts chapter 9, it tells the story of how this happened. Paul was traveling the road to Damascus to imprison Christians who lived there. And what didn't happen is that all of a sudden he had a spiritual epiphany that led him to say, "I don't want to persecute Jesus anymore. I want to start being a believer. I want to start living my life for him and serve him as a missionary." That's not what happened, no. Paul did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose Paul. For the sake of his mercy, he appeared to him on the road that day and blessed him with faith. And in this way changed Paul's picture, Paul's story, from one of ugliness to one of beauty. Somebody who believed that God had sent Jesus to rescue sinners from their sad spiritual plight by laying down his life for them on the cross. Friends, the same miracle has been repeated times without number ever since, not only for Paul, not only for Timothy, for thousands of others, even millions. How are you blessed to have in your possession the blessings of God's forgiving love, new spiritual life, and the sure hope of eternal glory in heaven? You didn't make a decision to do this on your own, to accept Christ as your Redeemer, Or did you perhaps think to yourself one day, it's just time to ask Jesus to come into my heart and make me his? No. But again, it was God's Holy Spirit who came to you in love and blessed you with faith through the Word, which for most of us happened in our baptism. For others of us, it happened perhaps later on in life. You can think of that whenever that day was, your baptism, or when you came to trust in Jesus as your Damascus highway, when the Lord made you a member of the Holy Christian Church, and having Christ as your brother, God as your father, a person who can say and sing with gratitude to God, "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his, he is mine." We can also see ourselves in the picture that Paul paints here in our text as objects of Christ's patience. Paul writes in verse 16, "I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Just think about this, the patience that Jesus showed to Paul as he went about his persecuting, plotting, breathing threats and murder against Jesus' followers, even obtaining letters of authorization from the high priest to travel to nearby cities like Damascus so that if he could find Christians there, he could bring them back, both men and women, bound to Jerusalem. Jesus could have struck him down and should have struck him down on the spot if that's how the Lord operated, but no, he endured that persecution just as he endured the abuse of his enemies in the court of Pilate and Caiaphas and the agony of the cross. Patience is on the list of the Lord's grand and beautiful attributes, which he's always demonstrated towards sinners, all the way back to Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed him in the garden, and he could have, again, rightfully destroyed them in his righteous anger. He did not, but right away gave them the promise of a Savior. The days of Noah, he could have wiped out the whole human race for its godlessness in the waters of the great flood, but in patience and love preserved Noah and his family and renewed his gospel promise. When we consider this, how the Lord showed such patience, and also for Paul, we know that he can and he will, and in love he has saved us who trust in him, including all of his believing saints. Finally, let's see ourselves in Paul's story as those who are grateful in his service. After Paul was led to faith in Christ, and after he got baptized by Ananias in Damascus for the remission of his sins, the overarching goal of his life was, "Lord, how can I serve you?" Which he did in a special way, as you know, as an apostle and as a missionary who traveled far and wide proclaiming the great things that God had done for him in Christ. The Lord has planted the same desire in our hearts, hasn't he, by the gospel. When we consider all that he did for us, the unlimited patience and love he's shown us in saving us from our sin guilt, in rescuing us from hell, which is described in the Bible as a lake of fire, everlasting chains, a place of unspeakable horror where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We lift our hearts to God in gratitude, and we look for ways to serve him. Sharing the gospel good news with friends as he gives us opportunity. Practicing patience towards others, forgiving those who hurt us, just like Joseph did for his brothers, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. Serving him in ways that we've mentioned in sermon not so long ago, and as an usher in worship services. as a teacher of the Sunday school children, as an officer of the congregation, as part of the Mary Martha's ladies group, helping out with cleaning and maintenance on the church property, as some of you were able to do yesterday, and through the year in other ways, and letting your light shine for Jesus by patterning your life after His in holiness and purity, walking in the way of His commandments with thankfulness. Martin Luther, in his commentary to the Romans in the preface, described this Holy Spirit-given desire that God gives to His Christians to serve the Lord in these and other ways as follows. Luther wrote, "Oh, it is a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be serving the Lord with works of love incessantly. It doesn't ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is even asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them spontaneously out of gratitude and praise to God who has shown to us His grace." So the Lord continue to so bless us. And as we see ourselves in Paul's story and reflect on God's fatherly goodness to us in Christ, let us join our hearts with Paul in praising Him in the beautiful doxology in the last verse of our text. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.